Now, hopefully you will all have found a button on your chair.
If Daniel hasn't
taken them all. No, Daniel was being very good, actually, and sharing them. If you don't have one, you can grab one afterwards. And obviously, if you didn't get a colour you like, I have plenty of spares, so you can come and find me afterwards and I'll swap out for if you have a special colour that you want. But keep hold of it, because we will get back to the buttons later. But today, we are continuing with our teaching on the book of 2 Timothy. And it's up there for you to find if you want to follow it in your Bible, if you want to look on your app, on your phone. We're in 2 Timothy, and it's chapter 2 as well, lots of 2s. 2 Timothy, chapter 2. And we're just looking at verses 8 to 13. And I've titled it, Remember Jesus. And we will come back to the buttons a little bit later on. But I'm going to pray and find my glasses, and then we'll jump in. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning, and thank you that this is all about you. I ask that you would give me your words, that this isn't the Amy show, Lord, this is the Jesus show. I ask that everything of me will be forgotten, but everything of you, Holy Spirit, will be remembered. I ask your blessing on each person in this place, that every person here would have one thing where they're aware of you speaking to them, touching them, loving them this morning. Amen.
Amen.
So, I'm not going to read it. We're going to read it in a moment. I'm going to put my button down. As we've already heard, if you've been here for other parts of the teaching so far, this book in the Bible is a letter. And it was a letter written by Paul, who was an apostle, a teacher. He travelled all around a lot of Europe, planting churches, spreading the word about Jesus. And he wrote this letter to Timothy, who was a much younger man, near the end of Paul's life. Paul was getting to right to the end. He was in prison when he wrote this letter. And he was sure that he probably wasn't going to live much longer. He was pretty sure that he was going to get executed. And so he was writing this letter to Timothy, who he loved as a son. Timothy was, you know, his special one. And he calls him my son quite often in his letters. And he's writing this to encourage him. And Timothy is away. Paul is in Rome. Timothy is currently in Ephesus, which was a Greek city at the time. So I just want us to bear that in mind, that this is a personal letter. But also he knew that Timothy would then read this, or the important bits, out to his church and then to others. So this is a letter to us too. So although Paul is saying, my dear Timothy, this morning I want you to think of it as my dear Alison, my dear Mary, my dear, he's writing to you as well. So from verse 8, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my good news, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of God's people, that they too may obtain salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we reject him, he will also reject us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. I've been reading this over and over for the last couple of weeks. And frankly, most of the time I've then been gone, meh, and put my Bible down and walked away and gone, what am I going to do? What are you saying? Or what's going on? I go and read it again and go, yeah, I get it, but what do you want me to say? I go off again. And then after a few days of just waiting on God and praying, the only word that kept coming back to my mind was remember. Remember. It was like a great big highlighted word in my brain. It wouldn't go away. Remember. So I prayed and I was like, well, yeah, I get it, remember, but what are you talking about? And then the next phrase, remember Jesus. Remember Jesus. I was like, well, it's not like I forget about Jesus. What do you mean, remember Jesus? And then it occurred to me, actually, I realized I do forget Jesus. And actually, I think probably most of us do. I forget about him every single day. At some point, if not most of the day. Not on purpose. It's not like I've gone, oh yeah, I don't want to remember, don't want to think about that. But the thing is, I'll have my morning hello with him in the morning. Morning hello, yeah. And I'll maybe read a little from my Bible. Maybe I'll just sit and pray. Maybe I'll just sit in quiet and wait on him. And just, I'll be aware of his presence. But then, obviously, I leave my chair, have a shower, and the day happens. And then there are so many demands on my thoughts, my time, my energy. I think this is the same for all of us. Once the day begins, there are so many things that are clamoring for our attention. We get distracted all through the day. We have our tasks, we have our work, if we work. But even if we're not paid, we still have tasks we need to do. We are busy. There are things to do. We have to-do lists. Things that pull our attention. Others' needs. If you've got children, yeah. You're lucky even if you get that hello time with Jesus on yourself in the morning. Because kids, they're constant, aren't they? They need care all the time. They need their attention. If you're a carer, doesn't matter. That person is going to need care. They take your mind, your awareness. There are events, there are unexpected circumstances. Things come up that throw our day out of whack. And then all we can think about is getting on with that or dealing with that. The latest emergency, the phone call, the this, the that. There's always something going on. Because of our phones, we are always contactable. Always. Depending on when you were born, you will remember a time when you couldn't be always contacted unless you were in your house and the landline phone went ringing, and then you could even decide whether you wanted to pick it up or not. Oh, it's 8:30, it's 9:00, I'm not picking up the phone now, they can ring me tomorrow. It seems unthinkable now that you would do that. Whereas now, as soon as a message comes, we have that kind of awareness, that pressure on us that we need to respond and deal with whatever that is as soon as possible. And even if we don't deal with it straight away, it's gone into our brain because I'll be chatting away with Lynn, la la la, having a really nice time. Somebody's phone buzzes. Do we continue chatting, Lynn, or do we check our phone? We're being distracted. There's stuff going on all the time. And most of us are surrounded by noise. It's very unusual to find somewhere that's quiet. Even if you go shopping, they're piping music at you. There's just sounds. A lot of us keep the radio on in the house or the TV on in the house. There's always background, blah, 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 blah. That was my sounds picture. Just, there's stuff going on all the time. There's environmental sounds, noise that keeps our brain just, whirl. And then don't get me started on screens. I mean, we know screens are addictive. We know they can increase stress. We know that they impact our sleep, but they're also part of our daily life now. So we need to find a balance. It's so easy at the end of the day when we're tired. I speak for myself here. It's so easy at the end of the day when I'm exhausted just to passively absorb off a screen, binge watch something. I'm not very good at just watching one episode if I know there's the next one coming or if I know I've got access to it there and then. How difficult is it to switch off and go to bed? If you go, oh yeah, but I'll just one more. I'll just one more. And then it's too late. And then you're really, really, really tired. You can barely make it to brush your teeth. All of this leaves us with very little brain space, very little peace. And we get to bed and we flop and realise, don't know about you, but I realise, hang on, I've barely given Jesus a thought all day. Unless I've needed to pray one of those quick, give me strength prayers, Lord, give me patience, or Lord, fix this prayer in the day when something's come up, I've probably not given him a thought. And what happens when we do this, and when this happens, is that without realizing it, we're being influenced all the time by the world, because we're taking in stuff all the time. And influence can be really subtle, but we're absorbing worldly thinking, worldly attitudes, worldly ideas. We just suck in these attitudes and beliefs, things we watch on the telly, things our friends say to us, things our colleagues say to us, things we read, even a piece of music. We know that music can affect our mood. And sometimes we then use that for our advantage. If I'm really tired and I need to a bit of like get up and go, then I'll put on something bouncy to like get a bit of energy going before I have to deal with my kids. If I want to do something where I want my kids to calm down, then I'm not going to be having like bow, bow, bow music on. I will deliberately put on something quiet and soothing and to kind of help me and the kids go together and calm down. It influences us. But we absorb the messages within those pieces of music without necessarily even realizing. And in the context of Paul's letter to Timothy, he was saying this as well. He was saying, remember Jesus, because there were people in Timothy's church who were starting to get more worldly. They were beginning to argue and get distracted about small things, silly things, small arguments, and making a big deal. Some were introducing ideas that were not of God, that weren't biblical, and then starting to teach them in the church. They were introducing things that made them more culturally relevant and more acceptable to the Greek city that they were in, but it wasn't of God. They were also suggesting things that would make them seem a little less edgy, a little less dangerous. And Paul was like, no. It's like being given a diamond and then deciding, nah, I don't want that. I'm going to collect cheap and trashy cracker toys instead. I'm choosing the world instead of this beauty. It's like refusing a delicious, healthy feast in favour of junk food and sweets, zero nutrition. Oh, Lorna's grinning at me. We've all been there, Lorna. You might be the one that's going with it. Yeah, but it's so easy to do. It's so easy to do. And we know what's good for us. But somehow we still end up with a bag of Doritos instead of the apple. I had a picture that God gave me a number of years ago, and it was a bit weird, but I saw myself, it was like I was watching a little TV thing, and I saw myself swimming in a sea, but it was like the sea was made of words, and part of that sea I could see was inside me, in my chest, and it was like the Holy Spirit was saying to me, Amy, this is the Bible, this is my word, this is me, I'm in you, and you are also swimming in me. But then I saw myself get out. And as I got out, I was coated in it. It was like I was covered in it. Like, you know, imagine if you like were swimming in paint and you got out and you'd be covered in paint. And I was covered in these words. But then as I started to walk up the beach and then away, I started to get dust on me and grit on me and dirt on me and just stuff was sticking to me and was covering the words. And I was getting a bit grubby and mucky. And then I saw myself walking back to the sea. And as I went back, I thought, oh, I know how this is going to go. I'm going to walk into the sea and it's all going to get washed off. And then the Holy Spirit was like, nice try, Aim. But then as I walked into the sea, no, it didn't wash off. It was vaporized. It went, whoosh. It was just like gone. All the dirt, all the dust, all the grime was vaporized, disappeared. And then I was floating back and just had a sense of peace and joy. And this is what we're being called to. Paul says to Timothy and to us, remember Jesus. Remember Jesus. He is the center of everything. He is the beginning and the end. We are living and breathing air right now because of him. Because he is the creator. He is the purest and most holy form of love. And Paul gives us three details. He highlights three things about Jesus. And the fact that he highlights them means they're important for us to look at. He said, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. Christ, that is not Jesus' surname. I am Amy Culver, that's my surname. He is not Jesus Christ. Christ means Messiah, the anointed one, the saviour. It's his title. It means what and who he is. He is the Messiah, Jesus the King. It says, he says, descended from David, to remind us that Jesus is the person that all the ancient scriptures, all the holy letters, all the Hebrew writings talked about and prophesied about and promised about over thousands of years. He is that Messiah descended from the line of David. This is him. This is Jesus. He is the fulfillment of all those promises. He's come at last after thousands of years of waiting. This is him. He is fully God and fully human, and the only person who can reconcile humanity to God. Jesus' love is so great for us, so dramatic for us, that he took the punishment we deserve for the wrong things we have done. That picture of the dirt and just the dust going on me. It's not just about major stuff. It's about everything. My selfishness, my impatience, when I snap at someone because I'm or when I gossip about somebody. All of this stuff, all of it which goes against God's holiness. He took the justice for that, the punishment for that, to the cross. And he died. And as he died, he took it all with him to the grave. Everything. Every single thing that we've done wrong. It's humongous. It's enormous. If we actually allow ourselves to get our brains around this, it's actually mind-blowing what he's done. Everything today, every judgmental thought, any one of you, you looked at me and gone, oh, she looks a bit of a state this morning. It's taken. It's forgiven. He left it in the grave and he was raised from the dead. Jesus Christ raised from the dead. Raised from the dead. Do we actually believe this is true? I mean, come on. If you've been in church a while, you've heard this phrase. It becomes a phrase, Jesus Christ raised from the dead. Yeah, that's nice. Let's have a cup of tea. No, no, this is enormous. It's phenomenal. Seriously. Right, no missing. Milan, bless you, right? If Milan dropped dead right now, we'd be like, ah, Milan! No, yeah, well, I would. Milan's like, yeah, nobody would. We'd be like, no. But how much more amazed would we be if Milan was then raised to life? That we knew he was dead, flatlined. But then, by the power of God, Milan came back to life. Would I go, well, that's nice. Let's have a cup of tea and a biscuit. Or would I be telling every single person I knew, you would not believe what I just saw. I saw it with my own eyes. He was dead and now he's alive. We would be telling everyone, we'd be excited about this. It would be incredible. This is true. This is what Jesus did. He came back to life. Amen. It is exciting. It is true. And not only that, but he promises us that he's only the first to come back to life. He's the first who came back to life and stayed alive. There are stories in the Bible of other people who were brought back from the dead by the power of God. But eventually, in time, their bodies aged and they went back into the ground. And they are now dust for the time being, except for Jesus. Jesus came back to life and he stayed alive and he is in heaven now. And he promises us that one day we will follow, that we will also be raised from death, every single one of us. Everyone who we love and we miss, who is currently sleeping in the ground, will be raised from the dead. This promise was given to Daniel This was about like thousands of years, even before Jesus, let alone before us. And an angel spoke to Daniel and he said, Daniel, you've done a good job. You will soon sleep with your fathers, meaning, Daniel, you're going to die soon. But he used the word sleep. And he tells him, but on the day, Daniel, you will be raised to your reward. Each one of us, this is our promise for each of us. What is there to be scared about or worried about if we know that this is not the end? This is just the beginning. 1 Thessalonians, I didn't put it up because it's really long. It promises us, it says, there will be the shout of command, the archangel's voice, the sound of God's trumpet, and the Lord himself, Jesus, will come down from heaven. Those who have died believing in Christ will rise to life first. Come on. Then all who are left living at that time will be gathered up along with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. We will always be with him. This is a promise. This is true. This is not a fairy tale. It's not a happy story. This is a promise. It's going to happen. I don't know when. Of course, I don't know how, because I'm just a human being. But God has promised it. He will do it. And we are saved, not just from our sin, from being apart with God. We are saved for. We are saved from what we deserve. From justice for our sins, yes. But we are saved for Jesus, for his glory. You will hear some preachers at this point will start going on to how we're saved for a better life. And then they're going to start promising you Mercedes or perfect health or everything you ever wanted. All your dreams are going to come true. Just ask God and he'll give it to you. I apologize, but that's absolute rubbish. That is not what's promised in the Bible. We are saved first and foremost for Jesus and his glory. He the boss. He the man. Not me. Not you. He does provide for us. Yes, because he loves us. He does care for us and watch over us and give us what we need. Yes, because he loves us. But it's that way around. Him first. First. He isn't a story. He isn't a set of moral codes. He is not a lifestyle choice. He is not an optional extra to add on to our lives. He comes first. Remember Jesus. He is the center. He is a person who loves us more than we can comprehend. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And one day everyone will be on their knees before him. Everyone who has been born and who dies will be on their knees before him. Some in fear and trembling and hatred because they've chosen to reject him. Many, I believe, more in love and joy and celebration. Because at last, our Saviour, the one who we've known here, but we've never seen face to face, we will see him and know him and love him. And he invites us and he says, he will reign with me. He invites us, the Lord of the universe, invites us to follow him, to accept his love and the right he has to rule our lives. Because our life, when we belong to Jesus, it's no longer about me. It's just about him. That's why Paul is writing from a prison in Rome. Because he was preaching and teaching that Jesus is greater than the Emperor Nero. And the Emperor Nero, if you know your history books, was not a nice man. And incredibly paranoid. He had all sorts of members of his family killed. I won't go there. Horrible. Paul had the audacity to say, Nero, you are not a god. And you are not the King of Kings. Jesus is. That's what got Paul killed. He was willing to pour out his life and willing to accept imprisonment and execution for standing for the truth rather than softening it down and saying, well, Nero, maybe you're okay too. No. That's what he said, for which this is my good news. This is my, that the good news is what he's just said all about Jesus. I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. We are still reading his letter now, thousands of years later, because God's word is not chained. Paul died, Paul sleeping in the dust, but Paul will rise again and reign with his Jesus. He knew there was a greater thing, greater than the world, that his life was only valuable as it was to be used in the service of Jesus. That's the only way his life had value. Everything else also ends in dust. Where's Nero? In the dust. Where's the Roman Empire? In the dust. Where will Trump be one day? Bless his heart. In the dust. Where will Putin be one day? Bless him. We bless him and pray for him, but he will be in the dust. We think that what we are in now is going to continue and on and on and on and on and on because that's all we know. We're creatures of time. But no, America will not remain the power forever, just as no other has remained the power forever. At some point, God will say, time's up. And he will allow either another power to rise or he will say, time is really up because I'm coming back. He's the boss. Paul said, well, I just wanted to move to this bit, sorry. This trustworthy saying, if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will reign with him. This isn't just talking about when we physically die. It's talking about our todays, our nows. It's talking about how we live our life now for Jesus. Making him the centre. Paul said, I have been put to death with Christ on his cross, so that it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. This life I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave his life for me. Carol was speaking earlier about the Holy Spirit. That's about right now. We die to the world. Our bodies live, but we say no. The Holy Spirit comes to live within us. It's his life in us that matters. It's his way. And if we are partnering with him, because at this point he is a gentleman, he's not going to force us to become like Jesus. We still have choice. But when we partner with him, then daily we become more like Jesus. We get a closer relationship with Jesus, the person. The more we spend time with him, the more we get to know him and love him. We surrender everything to him. Remember Jesus. That's all I want you to go home with today. Remember Jesus. This is a one-point preach. I think you might have noticed by now. I only have one point. One. I grew up in a Baptist church and there was always three. Don't know why, it was just a thing. 3 points, and I was so relieved when he got to the third. That's all I'm saying about that. But one point. Remember Jesus. Go back to that in a sec. If you've been lucky enough ever to fall in love, or unlucky enough, depending on how it worked out. But if you've fallen in love, you know that in those early days, those early weeks, you just, every spare moment, every spare thought goes back to that one you've fallen in love with. You think about them all the time. You can't help it. Every time there's a pause, you think about them. You want to know what they're doing. You want to talk to them. You want to be with them. You send them a message. You just can't wait to hear their voice. You long to be with them. When I first met Johan, this is going to sound crazy, but genuinely, this is the full truth. When I first met him, I could not eat for a week. And I couldn't sleep for a week. It was ridiculous. It's like my body just went, well, me. I thought that was the stuff of romantic fiction. You know, you'd read this in a novel or something and go, yeah, it's rubbish. Stupid. People don't react like that. I did. I lost quite a lot of weight, actually. It was quite a good diet thing. But I could not eat or sleep for about a week when we first met. Jesus is calling us to fall in love with him again. I'm not suggesting it means we won't eat or sleep. That was just my crazy reaction when I fell in love with the man who's now my husband. And I am eating and sleeping very well, thank you very much. But I still love him. Jesus is calling us to fall in love with him. Some of us, for the first time ever, you still don't really know him. And he's saying, I'm calling you today, fall in love with me. Learn how much I love and adore you. Others, probably most of us in the room, he's calling us to fall in love with him again, afresh. To remember that first love. To remember him. To take time with him. And that's the issue, time. We cannot have a working relationship with somebody we don't spend time with, be it a lover or a friend. You just can't. We cannot get to know someone better if we don't spend time with them. We need to take time out to remember that we are always in his presence, that we are always in his loving, loving presence. He promised his disciples and everyone, I am with you always to the end of the age. The end of the age is just a poetic way of saying until the end of time, until I come back with my new glorious body. But in the meantime, I am with you always. Through the Holy Spirit, I am with you. The verses we've got from Paul, from his letter, that's so important. Ends here. He says, if we reject him, he will also reject us. He will respect that. He will not force himself on you. He's done everything I spoke about this morning, and he loves you, and he's got his hand out and saying, I'm here. Fall in love with me. Let me show you my way, the only way. But if we choose to say no, he won't force you. But he will reject you back at the end of time. It says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. He is faithful. He can never not be faithful. And then that is the encouragement again for us, because we are faithless. We forget him. We make mistakes. We do the wrong things. We walk away. The prodigal son story. We go off for years, say, I want nothing to do with this. But he is still faithful and he is still there and he is still holding out his hand. And he will continue to do that until the day we die. He says, turn back to me and I will take you and I will love you and I will forgive you. So this brings us full circle back to where we started. Remember Jesus. First and foremost. But it's easier said than done. We don't mean to forget. We don't even want to forget. But we do. How? How do we keep ourselves focused? How do we remember Jesus in the midst of this craziness that we live in? So I've got a few ideas. These aren't... Alexa may help you. Yes, it's a good idea. I've got various ideas, and there are many more. You should have all have found a button on your chair, and if not, I've got some spare ones later. Take this button. Put it somewhere where you are going to see it or feel it on a regular basis each day. It might be in your purse or wallet. You might be audacious and stick it to the cover of your mobile phone. I dare you. Because then you are going to see it about, what, every 20 seconds? You could thread it onto a key ring. Put it on your car dashboard, your work desk. Buy the kettle. That'll probably be the one for me, to be honest. That's where I spend most of my time. Buy the kettle. Sew it onto something, even. Then each time you see it or you feel it, use it as a reminder to pause. Just take a few moments. Breathe. Just stop. Breathe. Remember, you are in His presence. And remember Jesus. You might need to talk to Him at that point. You might not. You might need just to listen. You might not. You might just need that reminder. And then you put the kettle on and you carry on with the day again. I'm going to read something from a book called Jesus Calling. And it's as if it's take. This is very cool. It was a gift from that I was given just recently. And it takes Bible passages and makes it as if it's Jesus speaking it to you. I'm going to read this to us. Then I'm going to play a small amount of music. I'd like us to take this time to hold your button. Just be aware of Jesus. Remember Him. You might want to pray. You might want to be silent in your mind and just sit. If you don't know Him yet, hold on to your button and say, "Show me. Show me you're real." And He will answer that prayer. Maybe not immediately in this moment, but He will answer that prayer. And then I'm going to give you a time just to make do business with God. Then I will pray at the end. So I'm going to read this. It says, this is Jesus speaking to you and to me. Live first and foremost in my presence. Gradually, you will become more aware of me than of the people and the places around you. This awareness will not distract you or take away from your relationships with others. Instead, it will increase your ability to give love and encouragement to them. You will be active in the world, yet one step removed from it. You will not easily be shaken, because my presence will buffer the blow of every problem. This is the path I have set before you. As you follow it wholeheartedly, you will experience abundant life and peace.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, thank you that we are always in your loving presence. Thank you that you are King of Kings, Lord Jesus, Lord of Lords, Maker of heaven and earth. We surrender ourselves afresh to you today. Help us remember you. In the normal and the rush and the busy of each day, may you be the center. I pray that we will be joyful always, that we will learn how to pray at all times, that we will be thankful in all circumstances. For all the praise and the honour of you. Amen.